Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and enter in our code GHOST. Get a four-week trial, plus postage, and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Stamps.com, and enter GHOST. Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed bell.
Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Current though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode, a beloved mother still wants to make sure the household chores are completed even after death. Hide and seek in the dark leaves a group of kids wondering what exactly was seeking them. As a last resort, a family consults a witch doctor to battle what is inside their home. And while home hunting, a listener's excitement quickly fades when she begins to hear a voice. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I just got done putting together a whole bunch of bunk bed bells for mailing.
Awesome.
It's a time-consuming process.
That's why you do it like once a month?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you see it and you're like, okay, I'll do that. And then you don't realize just how long it will take you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a good 2-hour process of gig, because I have to go through the emails and then everyone who sent in their thing, hey, I'll take a bunk bed bell, I sign up for a year. Then I have to check that email, confirm it, then go back and then write down the address by hand. I do it all by hand. I don't do labels or anything. Mm-hmm. If I moved up to like 1988, I could probably go a little quicker with it.
Maybe.
Probably. But I just write it all up by hand on every single thing. Then I have to go back and then put the USPS tracking sticker on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then put the bell, sign all the bells, and you sign the bells.
Yeah.
And then get the bells in the envelopes and then seal the envelopes. And everything is like a step into itself. And it's it takes a little while.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to get them out.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like, oh, right, got those out now. So anyway, and then the postage end of things where I got to put them on the scale with, and this is the easy part with the stamps.com stuff, and then, you know, print, click, done. It's just the packaging that is the,
yeah,
that is the biggest step in the whole process. So anyway, if you don't have a bunk bed bell yet and you want one, sign up for a yearly subscription to our EPP programs at ghostpodcast.com. Then email bunkbedbell at realghoststoriesonline.com your username and your address so I can get a bunk bed bell out in the mail to you. I like seeing the pictures that come in where people show us where they're using the bunk bed bell.
Oh, okay.
Those are always kind of funny. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story today. It comes into us from Mary. It says, a big fan of your awesome show. Love the both of you. Maybe Tony recognizes my email address. I often send weird emails of stories and pictures that randomly cross my path. Like the Craigslist haunted doll and Gags the Creepy Clown in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My name is Marion. I live in North Carolina, and I'm an EPP. Totally worth it. On to my story. In 2000, my mother passed away following a massive stroke. My father was understandably brokenhearted. They had been married just short of 30 years. My mother was sensitive or psychic. Mostly she had feelings or prophetic dreams. On the day our mother died, my older sister kept having repeated dreams that my mother's friends were visiting, and our mother kept telling her in the dream that she was not in the house. Our mother had her final stroke in the garden behind my parents' house. On that same day, I had a terrible migraine headache the entire day. My migraine abated late in the afternoon, and I decided to go out and get a few groceries to make dinner. I arrived back to my house to see all the lights on and the door open. My husband met me nearly at the car. He told me that we needed to get to our local hospital, that my mother was en route there. We arrived to find that my mother was just being taken into the emergency room. Her temperature had dropped down to the 80s, and she was unresponsive. When doctors got her temperature stabilized to the low 90s, it was decided that they could do no more for her in our small town hospital, and she was transported via ambulance to the nearest university hospital. After several scans were taken, doctors determined that my mother had no brain activity and that it was merely her beating heart that was allowing her lungs to draw in air. Doctors put Mom on oxygen, not a respirator, at my insistence. No further life-extending measures were taken. In truth, the oxygen was not extending her life so much as assuring my fears, because I have asthma and could not face the idea that she couldn't breathe. I knew she was no longer there. You could feel the palpable absence of a woman who was a formidable presence all my life. My husband, my father, and I left the hospital so that my father could get cleaned up and get clothing. Mom appeared stable. My sister-in-law called from the hospital while we waited for my father at his house. She asked for my spouse, and I knew because of that my mother was already gone. There followed all the whirlwind changes that needed to happen to arrange a funeral. I had not slept well in a couple of days since my mother's passing, so after a full day at my parents' house, I had to return home to get a little bit of sleep. During that nap, I had my first visit. My mother came to me and said in the dream, "I know I'm dead, but you still need to take out the trash." Typical of my mother. Not a comforting message of love or where the family fortune could be found, just take out the trash. We made our way back to my parents' house to find that indeed the garbage can was full nearly to overflowing. My husband took out the garbage. I received several messages from my mother over the next few days, in dreams and in other ways. What prompted me to write was the dead stock episode of October in 2016, wherein y'all questioned whether the songs on the radio could be messages from our deceased loved ones. I submit the following instance. After several days back and forth to my parents' house after my mother's funeral, my husband had to go back to work. My son was in school, and my father called me in tears and asked me to come out to see him. I was distraught because I could not figure out how I was going to be able to comfort my father in tears myself. I got in the car, make the 30-minute drive, turn the radio for distraction, and every station seemed to have talk shows, 6 presets and all talk shows. I decided to circle back through all the presets, and I found music. And the line of the song playing at the moment, "Just remember I love you, and it'll be all right. Just remember I love you more than I can say." I know at that moment my mother was trying in the only way she could to offer comfort and strength when I really needed it.
And I think that, you know, knowing that she still wants the trash taken out even after she's gone, it's kind of like, I guess maybe her way of saying, I'm still going to look out for you, even mm-hmm. though I'm not there.
I'm still going to be an annoyance. I'm still going to.
Well, you know.
He needs vacuuming over there.
Well, we do those things because you need to do those things.
Sure.
You know?
And I guess if the prompting is not there anymore, things won't get done.
Well, and it's also a little nudge to, you know, just do one thing at a time mm-hmm. and get through this and one step at a time. Take
sure.
the trash out. tomorrow vacuum and try and get back to normal.
Sure. I can see that. Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Appreciate it. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email your audio file if you want to just record it on your smart device and then send in that file. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Our next story says, I was nine when some of my neighborhood friends invited me out to play hide-and-seek in the middle of the night. I begged my mom to let me go because I felt like if I went, I'd be a cool kid. I don't know. When she finally let me go, I went out with my friends as an energetic ball of sunshine. We went out near some of the small woods by our neighborhood and started playing the game. I started having a bad feeling. I don't know what made me feel this way, but I tried to ignore it and went on. As soon as I heard my friend's voice echo, ready or not, here I come, I ran to the closet, the closest tree, and hid behind it, my heart racing. My breathing was heavy, and I tried to stay as still as possible. I heard footsteps coming towards the tree, and they sounded bigger and louder than a normal 9-year-old. I still stood thinking that it was one of my friends. By the way, my neighborhood is a small one, and there are not many people around. My family and I mostly know everyone. I continued standing until I heard the footsteps stop. Thinking that it was one of my friends, I looked behind me. It was a man about 40 to 50 years old, staring down at me, and I screamed as loud as I could and started running towards the exit of the woods. I could hear the man's footsteps and his voice screeching, "Hey, wait up!" I didn't stop for him and ran even faster out of the woods. I stood for a moment to make sure that he stopped following me. After I was sure he was gone, I collapsed to the ground and started crying as hard as I could. I was not able to control myself. I saw my friends running up to me in terror of my screams, asking, "Are you okay? What happened? Are you hurt?" I couldn't respond to any of them and just kept whimpering on the ground in a terrified state. After I stopped crying, I stood up and told them about my experience in complete detail. One of my friends looked at me with a concerned look and asked me many more questions about my experience. I answered truthfully to every single one, and I could see terror rush to her eyes. "He exists?" she whispered in a shaky voice. "Who exists?" I asked, confused. "The man from my nightmares," she responded, looking at me with an expression I'll never forget. Turns out my friend was having nightmares of the man attacking her and calling her a bad girl, saying she was accidentally put on Earth and shouldn't be here. I don't know why I did it, but I faced towards the woods and saw the man again, watching us. I looked at everyone and shook my head no, then ran for my house, not looking back. I lay in my bed that night wide awake. I got up out of my bed and looked out the window and saw the man one last time looking up at my window. That was the last time I ever saw that man.
So I can't imagine sneaking out in the middle of the night, and it's already kind of scary because you know you're not supposed to be doing that. And then when you're playing hide and seek, something's trying to get you, and it's not a friend.
Oh, especially with a friend connecting the dots of this being something that she already knows about.
Yeah.
And what a lovely thing or creepy thing to say, like, "You're not supposed to be here, so I'm just going to kind of torment you."
Yeah.
That's, bizarre. Thank you for sharing that that story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. Phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can always send in that email, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, to share your stories with us. Hey, if you you want that bunk bed bell, you can easily get it at ghostpodcast.com and you sign up for that annual subscription. And I will package it all up and I will send it out to you using our equipment from stamps.com. Great stuff over there. It saves you time, saves you money. You can use it for your own personal use if you send a lot of mail, or it's perfect, obviously, if you're a business person, small business, large business, you name it. It is going to be convenient. It's going to save you time and money. I can mail any letter, package, using just my computer and printer, and the mailman picks it right up. No waiting in line at the post office. None of that anymore. Yeah, that can be a whole treacherous journey in itself. It's convenient, it's easy, it's reliable, it's flexible. And right now, you got to check this out. If you go to stamps.com and click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in our code GHOST, you, my friends. You can enjoy a Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer. Stamps.com makes it that easy. So go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, type in our code GHOST, and get yourself that 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without a long-term commitment. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Our next letter comes into us. Liliana says, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Liliana from Dallas, Texas. I found your show on Spotify last week, and I've been hooked ever since. I'd like to tell you the story of a townhome I and my family lived in when I was younger. At first, nothing seemed wrong with the place. About a few months in, my family and I started to experience some unusual activity. We'd see a shadow at night and hear things moving downstairs. One night, I was away from home. My parents explained to me that around 3 a.m., they woke up to some noise in the kitchen downstairs. My mom and dad sat by the stairs and continued to listen. They heard the microwave open and close, then start like someone was heating food. No one else was in the home. There was another time that my dad and I were in the kitchen cooking. We were standing side by side in front of the stove with our heads slightly turned to face each other. And as we were talking, we saw two skeleton legs walking up the stairs through the corner of our eyes. I could tell by the look on my dad's face that we had just seen the same thing. I don't want to say that I was being attacked, but one day I was asleep in my parents' room and I heard footsteps running towards me. And then I just felt a hard smack in my face. It scared me shitless. I screamed for my parents, but they were outside, meaning that no one was inside. As the weeks went by, the activity only seemed to be getting worse. A few weeks later, we took a trip to Mexico, and while we were there, my mom started to explain what we were experiencing to my aunt. My aunt suggested that we go see a witch doctor. Normally, my mom would say no to such a thing, but at this point, she was desperate. The doctor cleansed us with sage and some other things that I can't remember. He explained that the person that lived in the townhome before us was also a witch doctor, but he practiced dark magic. She began to explain that he would transform himself and allow himself entry into the townhome, which explained the shadow that we would see in the movement in the kitchen. She also stated that he had placed a box full of malevolent things under the floors of my parents' bedroom. She warned us that if we didn't leave the townhome soon, things were only going to get worse. Needless to say, as soon as we got home, my parents broke the lease and we got the heck out of that place. Thanks for taking the time to read my story. I love your show and plan to become an EPP very soon.
I don't know on this one that the witch doctor was right. It sounds more like just a regular human ghost going about heating up leftovers and, you know.
Just like someone's regular routine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I almost just kind of wonder if it was just a ghost, not something really dark or something, mm-hmm. You know, the ghost of somebody who was bad.
I guess they should have ripped up the floorboards.
If they had owned it, they might have.
That's true.
They didn't own it.
It'd be kind of creepy. What would you do if you did that? You ripped up some floor and you've discovered all sorts of weird things like that. But let's say the house was good.
Uh-huh.
Let's say there's nothing weird going on yet.
Uh-huh.
But you just discovered that because somebody said, because somebody told you a story like that.
I don't know.
Did you realize the previous residents were like this and they had this and that this is where they hid this stuff?
On one hand, I would think, okay, leave it there because nothing's going on in the house.
And you're not disturbing it, though.
Just by finding it, though, is that disturbing it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think it'd be very unsettling. I think I would, you know, if nothing continued to happen, I'm okay, well, that's good, mm-hmm. You know. But if things started getting stirred up, like, what do you do?
It just depends on what's going on.
Yeah. No. Creepy stuff. Thank you for sharing the story with us. 855-853-4802. Our number, Willow writes in. Hi, guys. I'd like to start off by saying how interested I am in your series. I've been continuing to watch your episodes since about 1 to 2 years ago. I'm sorry, this might be a bit long. Anyway, on to my story. It all started when I first moved into my now new house in a small area called the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia, the house in which I'm currently living. To be very honest, nothing has ever felt right here. It always felt like this place was never really going to be somewhere I could call home. Within a few nights, my mother and stepfather had a fight about ice leaking onto the kitchen floor, as it was a small kitchen. There was nothing really to get overexcited about, although they used to fight quite a lot, so it wasn't as uncommon. But ever since then, I felt as if some presence wanted to make itself known. First of all, small things would go missing, like car keys, headphones, then they would end up somewhere very strange. Then it was the feeling of a heavy atmosphere whenever I would enter my bedroom. But in the turn of events, I was walking up to a long hallway. A little layout explanation. When you get to the front door, there's a stair right in front of you. And you're to your left, the door to the garage. Went up the stairs. To the right, there's a living room, dining. And if you walk to the left, there'll be a smaller living area next to the kitchen connected to the other dining and living area. Then if you keep going, you walk up another 8 steps and straight to the right, there's my parents' bedroom. You turn slightly to the left and there's a massive hallway. And right at the end of there is my bedroom. Walking into a small living and kitchen area, and at the end of the room, there's a doorway into my bedroom. When I got the long hallway and turned into my parents' bedroom, which my cat usually spent most of her time in, I picked her up and turned around. To my absolute horror, there was a large 6'3 or 6'4 black hazy figure standing right at my doorway. So I did the only logical thing I could think of and turned around and turned back, and it was gone. I guess I ignored it for a time as I thought it could be my imagination. From then on, strange knocks came from my living area, kind of like a sound of when someone turns a light switch on and off, but it always remained with the light off. A few weeks after this, I was walking through the larger kitchen during the day and just hit my doorway mark, and I felt someone or something touch me on my upper right side of my chest, just below the shoulder. I felt a sense of love and compassion, even a hint of sympathy. It was nice, although sort of startling for a teenager. So I continued my day. Now it has been about 3 to 4 years, and these strange occurrences still happen, now including the pungent smell of something burning and more knocking at night. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on the situation. Maybe even tell me what may be going on. That's completely up to you. Hoping to see this on an episode, but until then, thank you for your time.
I wonder if something had happened there. Like, there had been some kind of fire, or somebody had been burned, or something like that, and this is like a residual, except the whole black figure is very ominous.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose, you know, you could have something like that that does look and appear to be ominous, although it just may be part of the residual, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes it even more confusing
mm-hmm.
to know what or if or what's going on in that situation. Hard to know. Exactly what the case is there. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your ghost story for us. Emma says, hey guys, just finished nursing school and found your podcast about a month ago, and I've been listening nonstop while I study for my registration exam. I average about 5 or 6 a day. I'm not currently an EPP due to being an unemployed new graduate, but have been strongly hinting towards a year-long subscription for my birthday. I submitted a story a few weeks ago about the haunted pizza place I worked at. I sent it on Facebook attached to a super creepy picture. I have a couple interesting stories, but this was definitely the most frightening. I had a friend, Kay, who lived in a 140-year-old Victorian home that was beautiful and entirely creepy. I've always been sensitive, which I suppose runs in my family, so something happened every time I stayed in that home. Mostly little things, moving my glasses, knocks on the wall, shower curtain moving while you're showering, which is the worst. You're so naked and vulnerable. But also a few more unsettling things, like seeing an old man's face reflected in the TV, or seeing a huge shadow developing in the corner of a room. But one night it came to a crescendo, and I've not ever been back since. I was 17 at the time and was spending the weekend there with 4 friends while Kay's parents were away. It was late on Friday night, and the 2 of the girls, Kay and N, decided to leave the house to go hang out with their boyfriends while myself and M stayed home. I wasn't feeling well, so I went upstairs to lay down in the guest bedroom, taking one of the family dogs with me, leaving the others with M. A few hours later, I was dozing with the dog beside me when M came sprinting up the stairs and flung herself into bed with me, sobbing and shaking and almost hysterical. I asked her what had happened, and she told me I was sitting in the living room watching a movie when to the right, I saw the kitchen lights come on. I assumed it was Kay or Ann returning home, so I didn't really react. I heard some movement in the kitchen when the light then flicked off. I looked up to look through the glass doors that lead into the dining room, expecting to see one of the girls, and instead saw the glass door swing open with nobody there. I started to get a little freaked out when the dog jumped up and started growling in the direction of the door. I sat there horrified when the TV flicked off and saw a large black shadow move slowly across the floor before darting through the wall into the hallway. She said she sat there, paralyzed in fear for about a minute before running upstairs to me. I was unsettled but wasn't sure if I believed her. She asked if I would go outside with her and have a cigarette, and I agreed. I stood up and went to reach for the door handle when I heard footsteps coming up the stairs, and I froze. The footsteps stopped for a moment outside the door and then walked down the hallway. I stood there in silence, listening to the footsteps making their way back towards us. I heard a loud knock on the door and then footsteps making their way back downstairs. After that knock, I was thoroughly convinced K and N had returned and were screwing with us. So I flung the door open and yelled, "You guys are not funny, stop dicking around." I then heard the footsteps come back up the steps and stood in the doorway in disbelief as the footsteps continued up the stairs with, of course, no source that I could see. The footsteps continued and again stopped right in front of the door and continued down the hallway. I turned around, grabbed M, and we sprinted down the stairs, through the house and out the front door. It was 3 a.m. We sat outside for the next half an hour waiting for K and N to return home. And while we sat there, we watched lights throughout the house periodically turn on and off. I don't believe it was anything meaning us harm, but it was terrifying. Speaking to Kay about it later, she had heard knocks coming from inside the closet in the guest room and knocks through the wall in the guest room. Her mother also recalls when she was 3 or 4, she used to say in a sing-song voice, "Mr. McKinney was cut up and buried," and she used to play with a man who lived in a spare bedroom closet. Of course, it wasn't anything I knew before that night, and I didn't go back to that house. I apologize for the length of the story, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope this letter finds you well, and I hope I hear the story on the show. Thank you so much for the community you've created for those of us who have taken a peek into what's next to come. Lots of love, Emma.
I'm suspicious because if it's knocking and it's coming around at 3 a.m., that doesn't sound like a good thing.
It's usually not the symptoms of just, your friendly neighborhood ghost.
Mm-mm. No.
Hard to know what exactly it is, but it doesn't sound like it's a good thing.
Mm-mm.
Thank you for sharing the experience with us here on the show. Next one, this is not my story, but told to share it. I want to remain anonymous. This happened a few years back in a mountain suburb of Vancouver, Canada. This really happened, although I wish it didn't. My aunt had just purchased a beautiful old home in this neighborhood, but being a business executive, she often traveled around Canada for work purposes. Her two children were at their dad's home for an extended period, and their live-in nanny went back to her home abroad for a much-deserved break. Therefore, my aunt asked if I could house sit, as a large home would be unoccupied, and she felt uncomfortable with that. I agreed to this, thinking it would be a small weekend break where I could lounge around and raid their fridge. The drive was about 1.5 hours from my place, and I was generally eager about the whole thing. The nanny, who we were all very close to and who we like a second mother to my younger cousins, warned me before leaving that she thought her house was haunted. The country where she was from, the Philippines, has strong beliefs about paranormal and ghosts, and she said that she routinely saw a woman dressed in Victorian clothing by the outdoor pool. She told me to do some special prayers for protection. Being a believer in the paranormal and experienced things myself before in unrelated incidents, I took her seriously, was a bit frightened, but I figured at this point it was too late to back out. She left and I settled into the home. The first few hours were uneventful. I just watched some TV, browsed the internet, and read some of the tabletop magazines. Eventually, I sort of forgot about what she had said about the haunting. I ate dinner, took a brief swim, and then things started getting a bit weird. I had that familiar feeling of being watched that most people report when speaking of the paranormal. I tried my best to shrug it off and realized that I had forgotten an extra towel outside on one of the patio chairs back when I was swimming. When I went outdoors, a towel was floating in the middle of the pool. This freaked me out a bit, but I forced myself to calm down and watch TV, hoping it would distract me. I was watching reruns of My So-Called Life when the faucet in the kitchen began to pour water. I went to turn it off and noticed that a single plate lay in the center of the floor face down. I put it away and nervously go back to the TV room, but sit in the corner with my back facing the wall because I was growing scared and didn't want something to sneak behind me, like in a horror movie. From where I was sitting, you could see the outdoor pool through a glass wall or screen. And after about an hour and a half, I noticed the water was sort of bubbling. I went close to the glass door to investigate and saw that it appeared the water was moving as if someone were doing quick laps back and forth, yet there were no audible splash sounds to accompany the movement. I also got an overwhelming sense of dread and goosebumps formed in my arms and on the back of my neck. I turned off the TV, made sure all the doors were locked, and sprinted upstairs to the master bedroom. I curled up under the covers and started reciting the prayers the nanny taught me before she had left. I must have stayed awake for what felt like hours, long after the sun had set, trying to will myself to sleep. I had left the lights on and the room on because I was frightened. As I closed my eyes and tried to calm down, I heard a piercing scream that seemed to come from outside the window. The lights then turned off, leaving me in darkness. At this point, I'm having a heart attack, but I'm too scared to move. Suddenly, the locked window starts to flap open and shut forcefully. They were the ones that had panes that opened outwards, if that makes sense. Also, at that same time, the thick, heavy wooden doors in the hallway leading up to the bedroom began to do the same, causing loud banging, and I felt as if the whole house was shaking. These doors would not have been moved by a strong gust of wind, only by a forceful movement of a hand. Also, the opening and closing of the doors and windows were all synchronized perfectly. After about 5 minutes, everything stopped. The silence was almost deafening, and all I could hear was my stifled but heavy breath. Then I heard sound that sent shivers down my whole body. The glass screen door on the first floor slid open and then shut. There were slow, methodical steps coming through the TV room and then up the stairs. It was as if each step were taken with intention, loud enough and knowingly to scare me. Then the first door opened in the hallway, and then the other, and finally the bedroom door creaked open. I shut my eyes tightly and listened as the footsteps approached the side of my bed. I felt as if a pair of eyes were piercing through the covers at me. Then the footsteps moved to the foot of my bed. Minutes passed, the presence and air in the room was so heavy. Not one sound could be heard outside, not even the crickets that often frequented my aunt's backyard. Then all the covers flew off me, and I heard a loud cackle like one might hear from a cartoon witch. I bolted up, packed my stuff, and left that house as quickly as I could, only stopping to lock the front door as the keys slipped over and over in my shaking hands. I left the screen door unlocked, but figured no one could get it anyway, as there was a big fence surrounding the backyard, and frankly, in that moment, it was not my top priority. I checked into the closet hotel, or the closest hotel, too scared to drive home, and spent a sleepless night there, calling my aunt in the morning. She seemed confused when I told her what happened, as she said she had never felt any ghostly presence there, but that the nanny had mentioned it a few times. I guess she never really took it too seriously. She lived in the house for a couple of years after that and ended up relocating to Shanghai with her children for business purposes. We didn't really speak of it much, but when I told my mother, she said that she had always felt creeped out there and told me that once, while she was swimming, she felt as if someone had tried to push her head underwater. After that day, I always avoided that house, coming over only when necessary and when others were inside.
I think maybe the aunt wasn't sensitive enough, possibly, because it seemed like everybody else had something to say negative about that place.
I suppose that's a good gift to have, not being sensitive enough.
Yeah.
Where you're just immune to it. Because, I mean, to some it seems like, oh, this is great, it's a blessing, and others it's like, no, I don't want that, and you don't have it either, so that's...
The other thought I had was maybe that ghost really liked the aunt, but did not like anybody else being in the house.
Yeah, that could be that too, where it's trying to torment everyone but its favorite. Lots of possibilities with that one. Thank you for the story and sharing that. That would be terrifying with the windows going up and down. That's like something out of the horror movies. Yes. 855-853-4802 is our number. Maddie says, good morning, Tony and Jenny. I called a little bit ago with a story, but feel like I just rambled. So I figured I'd write this one. My name is Maddie. I'm from Central New York near Syracuse, the one whose parents call the psychotic psychic. When I was around 23, my ex-fiance and I were looking to buy a home for our new little family, him, our three-year-old daughter, and myself. My job was to find the house, check it out, and report back to him if I felt it was a house worth buying. I looked at a ton of homes in the area. Most either needed work or the owners were asking far above what I'd be willing to pay for their home. Then my realtor called me and said that a house had just come on the market. It was huge and old, exactly what I wanted, and right in the middle of the figures I had given her on what I wanted to spend. We met at that house the next afternoon. It was on a dead-end road. The house was a massive three-story home, not including the attic or basement. As we walked around to the back of the house to go in, I got a strange, uneasy feeling, almost as if someone was watching out a window. I brushed it off as we entered the home. I scooped up my daughter in my arms, and she wouldn't run around touching things. I still had this odd feeling. The realtor showed me the downstairs. It was beautiful. Fireplaces in every living space, a huge kitchen, and three living rooms. At this point, I was very excited, thinking this could be my home. As we started up the stairs, I again got an odd feeling. I felt as if something was pushing on my chest, trying to make me go back down the stairs, but not hard, like to push me down. Again, I brushed it off because I was so excited to see the rest of the house. As we got to the first landing, I heard a voice in my head say, "Please leave." I ignored the voice and proceeded up the stairs. When we got to the second floor, I was in awe. It was amazing. Huge bedrooms, large closets, Victorian clawfoot bathtub, just beautiful. Again, I heard the voice. I said, "Please leave." In my head, I replied, "No," and headed up to the third floor. I was even more awestruck with this floor than I was with the previous. Two massive bedrooms, another large bathroom. I was immediately drawn to the bedroom to my right, which looked to be the master bedroom. As I walked into the room, I got an immediate sense of dread and panic. I tried to compose myself as to not make my realtor think I was insane. I looked around the room. There's a large closet to my left and a very small door to the right. When I say small, I mean tiny. I'm 5'2 and weighed about 115 pounds, and the door was only a little bigger than me. I asked what that was, and my realtor said she wasn't sure. I walked over and opened the door. The dread was now almost overpowering as I felt a strange energy when the door opened. Behind the door was a long, tiny hall, only the size of the door. Even though I knew I should not be in that space, kept hearing the voice asking me to leave. I went in anyway. At the end of the hallway was a small room with what looked to be a very old teacher's chair right in the middle of the room. I thought to myself, what the fuck? Is this a freaking torture room? At this point, my gut and the voice in my head are now at fever pitch. I was panicking. I turned around quickly and left the room. When I hit the stairs, I heard the voice again, this time. There was no please or politeness. I heard, "I warned you." I hauled ass to the second floor landing, my realtor standing there in shock, looking at me like I was a nut. The look on my face had to have shown my fear, but in just a few short seconds, that fear would turn into utter terror. As I made my way down the landing and started down the final set of stairs, I heard in a loud, mean voice, "I told you to get the fuck out." And then out of nowhere, a huge shove from behind that almost sent me down the stairs with my daughter in my arms. I ran from the house, my realtor chasing and yelling, "What's wrong? What happened?" I said nothing and pretty much threw my daughter in her car seat, ran to the driver's side and started the car. As I slammed it into drive, I looked up at the master bedroom window only to see an old, scary-ass looking man peering at me. Needless to say, the realtor never called me again, and my ex and I built a brand new house. That's the end of that story. Love the show. I'm now an EPP and have a lot of catching up to do. Thank you for all you do.
And that's the kind of thing you need to pay attention to when you're house hunting, is no matter how great the house is, if something literally is telling you not to buy this house, then don't buy it.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Pretty clear cut in that case.
Because I don't think he's going to give up once you take ownership of that house.
I think I would have kept doing the same thing, though, that she did. Exploring.
Yeah.
Like, get out. Okay. I won't buy it, but I'm going to check out what's going on. And then eventually, yeah. It's a good thing nothing followed, because that could be an interesting part two. But thankfully, that I don't think that that happened.
No.
The way it sounds. Great, great haunted real estate house hunting story. I like that one. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for the full year, get 1 month free, and a bunk bed bell. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.